Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. For this edition, observations on the legislature from 75th District State Representative Jed Davis. Representative Davis has a civil engineering degree and has served as president of the board of the Parkview Christian Academy in Yorkville. The Republican lawmakers spoke during an Illinois Family Institute forum hosted by Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove.
This is my second term. What a brutal path to get here. I took on an incumbent in leadership. I mean, they spent a lot of cash to keep me out. North of about 800 grand, we spent about 35. So we were outspent 22-1. And then people think money's everything in politics, and it sure is nice. It helps. But hard work, very strategic with what your operation is, getting your message out. And definitely God helping behind the scenes, lining up every piece of the puzzle that I needed, that I didn't even know existed, kind of got me to where I am. And it is incredible to be here. It is such a tremendous honor to be the voice of the 75th District. And Springfield is eye-opening, to say the least. On both sides of the aisle, it's so easy to complain if you watch any kind of social media or listen to any rep ever talk about anything. You know, you always hear them talk about the budget. You know, it was about 5,400 pages this time around. You had 18 hours. So it's like an impossibility. And they do it out of sheer design. So again, real low-hanging fruit, super easy to complain. But what aggravates me more than that is there's no like balance. We're not, when I say we, my caucus isn't providing a solution. Like, you can easily complain, and it is so warranted, the way they manipulate the system and shove just $55 billion of tax and spend down the throats of the people, often in the middle of the night. Last session was a huge circus. It took multiple votes to get it over, and they ended up suspending the rules so they could do a third vote because they kept failing. That's a really good story, too. There's all kinds of great stories. But I'll share this one because it's fun. So this was a year ago, about 3:30 in the morning. We're voting on the budget. They needed 60 votes. Actually, we were not voting on the budget. We were voting on the tax bill to fund the budget. The revenue enhancers is what they call taxes. So they were voting on that bill to fund the budget that we had just passed. But there's an election coming up. Nobody really wants to have their name on a yes, whether you're blue or red, a yes to have $1 billion of new taxes on the people of Illinois. So the left, the majority party, had to get their caucus really together to get the 60 votes. And if people could stay off of it, they would. So 3:30 in the morning, everyone's a little tired, we're voting. One of the retiring Republicans voted yes. But nobody really realized it because it was very chaotic. So he voted yes and then goes bolting down after they closed the roll. This is Randy Freese. God bless Randy Freese. Goes bolting down the aisle. And I look up. I'm like, where's Randy? Like, Randy's running out of the back of the chamber. I'm like, what is Randy doing? And then I look up on the board and I see he has a yes vote. And it's right at the 60. We called for accounting. We're going to do a roll call to verify, because believe it or not, staff will run around and vote for people when they're not there. So we wanted to make sure butts were in seats pushing the buttons for yes or no. So once they do the roll call, if that rep isn't present, his vote doesn't count. So Randy purposely voted yes and then ran and hid in the closet somewhere so nobody could find him, and the vote failed. Because it only had 59 votes, which was epic. So now, I thought that was really clever. And he was retiring, so like, what does he care if he voted yes on a $1 billion revenue plan? Like, he was going to have some fun on the way out. They had to do it two additional times before it actually finally passed. which was just crazy. They couldn't get their 60 votes together, but that's the stuff. It eventually passed about 4:30 in the morning. And at that point, you're so worked up, I just drove home. I just drive home. But that just kind of gives you a flavor, a little bit of Springfield. We do not do a very good job, very intentionally, and I'm saying we collectively as a General Assembly, on communicating what actually happens to our constituents back home. So we just did that $55 billion budget this cycle, but they also passed a task force to look into your cost of living. And I want to be like, hello, like you want to know why our cost of living is going up. Our state budget in about 7 years has gone from about $37 billion to $55 billion. And we're not a business. This money is our money. So you want to know why your cost of living is going up? Well, the government is just spending at an astronomical rate that is unsustainable. And it's ultimately, you know who pays for it? It's us as consumers when you go buy these products that are continually taxed to death in Illinois. So that is maddening to me that you can, they'll go back in their district. They won't mention the fact that we just voted on 5,400 pages in 18 hours, largest budget in the state history of Illinois. But they'll proudly talk about this task force that they formed to investigate and dig into your cost of living, which is a double standard in my world. So, me included, double check whatever your rep or senator is telling you and make sure that what is actually happening in Springfield is what is actually being communicated when they're out on the campaign trail. Because I can almost guarantee you they're two different things more often than not. And then the scary thing from a biblical perspective are some of the bills being filed. There's really stupid ones, and Illinois Family does an amazing job at summarizing these and getting them out to people, which I'm so grateful. In fact, I wanted to send a letter to all of the pastors in my district letting them know, here's what's happening. And I'm actually sitting on the floor watching it, but there are thousands of bills filed every year, both in the House and the Senate. So it's almost impossible to keep tabs on all of it. Like, hey, what are you guys tracking? I would love some help to make sure I'm not missing anything, which is great. So they do an amazing job. But you've got bills like, if you interfere with your son or daughter's transition from one gender to another, it's considered child abuse, and they can remove the child from your home. Now, it's not law. And I'm not even sure if I got a committee hearing, but the fact that these things are even being filed in Springfield means some elected official somewhere thought this was a great idea, which is super alarming. And I'm watching the other side of the aisle get more and more progressive. I've been at thousands of doors. I don't believe that it is representative of the electorate of Illinois. But again, Springfield isn't truly communicating back home what is happening. So a lot of it is done often literally under the cover of darkness, like I said, 3:30 in the morning, but without the true communication back to their constituents, which again is very alarming. So we are in a battle, not just for your pocketbook, but for the hearts and souls of the next generation in the state of Illinois. Parents are under attack. The family, I mean, God bless Charlie Kirk and what he stood for from just promoting family and almost seeing a renewal and a revitalization in the younger generation of family, like what my parents would define it as, that my generation and maybe the generation under me have kind of feels like it's just kind of slipped through our hands a little by a very, I would say, deliberate attack from the enemy. So be in prayer for Springfield, because you do have these crazy bills, other really stupid stuff, like they were after gas-powered leaf blowers to make them illegal, trying to make it illegal to own a kangaroo. So if you're going to get a kangaroo for your son or daughter for Christmas, that's off the list. But make it illegal to pet a bear, which I thought, like, that's just natural selection. I don't know if we need a law for that. But then at the crux of it, just really liberal ideology and really liberal economic beliefs, even in energy. I don't know if anyone's noticed their energy bills go up. Well, in 2030, we're saying no more coal in Illinois, even though Southern Illinois has some of the cleanest coal plants literally in the world, we're mandating that they be closed. And the one thing the market knows is the future, and often today's prices are set off of what is coming down in the near future. So they're seeing the policies that we're passing and they're adjusting prices accordingly, because whether or not Illinois can produce the energy, we're still going to use the energy, which means instead of being what we should be, an energy exporter, we're going to have to be purchasing and bringing it back into Illinois. It's just a mess. But I think there's great hope. There's great hope in the ability to have honest conversations with people.
State Representative Jed Davis, during an Illinois Family Institute forum hosted by Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove. More of his remarks from that event after this.
Need somewhere to belong? Try here. We're socialites. Find us at socialites.blog. We aim to cultivate meaningful friendships and create places for people to come together face to face.
We do weekly group, Bible study groups, swing dancing. We even do bonfires on occasion.
We also connect churches via their YA groups in the Chicagoland area.
We want to be the answer to the question of, where do you even meet people anymore? Come find us at socialites.blog. Check out some of the events we got going or any of the groups that we host regularly.
Socialites.blog.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. We're highlighting remarks made by 75th District State Representative Jed Davis during an Illinois Family Institute forum hosted by Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove. In this segment, the Yorkville Republican lawmaker weighs in on politics and the troubled Illinois Department of Children and Family Services.
That department has got a lot of issues. We're a foster family. We have been way before we got into politics. I was involved as a school board president for years. We were one of two schools in the entire state that stood up to the governor. And I remember sitting in the parking lot and getting served an inch and a half thick lawsuit by the Secretary of State Police because we wanted to give our families the freedom of choice. We didn't care how they sent their kid to school. We just wanted to be up to the parent to decide whether or not to send your kid with a mask. The governor didn't appreciate that and ended up suing us, which was like a two-year legal thing that we ultimately won. But it was a crazy ride. But we've also been a foster family. We just renewed our license. About 9 years altogether, we've fostered a variety of kids through those years, many infants straight from the hospital. The last infant we had was right after an election, and I was now north of 45. I was like, wow, I cannot do this anymore. This 2 a.m. stuff was meant for younger parents. But man, taking care of those kids is just such an honor as well. But I kind of see my wife and I phasing out of that. We've adopted our youngest daughter. We adopted out of foster care. Right now we have a 17-year-old. That is a blessing. She's a gem. She's great. She'll be 18 in December. So she's almost out, which is not that she's leaving our family, but I just mean she's almost out of having to worry about the state meddling in her life anymore. So she's got some freedom in the near future. I mean, that's a really complicated case. But what we have come to discover in a couple instances is that the department is using interns to lead investigations, which is, I've said the word alarming a lot. I guess that'd be the theme of Illinois. But I'm a civil engineer, so I graduated in 2000 and I had to take an exam to become an engineering intern. Now, would you want me, with zero real-world experience, out stamping plans for bridges that your family is going to ultimately drive across? You want me to get the relevant experience before I become qualified to stamp a set of plans that literally is life and death for our public using the infrastructure that engineers design? Same thing, the law states in Illinois for people that lead investigations, they need a college degree, couple years of experience, and they can get a CWEL license, a child welfare employee license, after they pass an exam. Then just sets them on the road to get the professional experience they need before they become officially certified to be a lead investigator. Well, DCFS is saying, no, you don't need the experience. As long as you got your CWEL, you're good to go. which is not what the law says. And I have been in a big standoff with them on this issue for months now. So the state is running around investigating families. The people leading these investigations don't have, I'm not saying all of them, but there are interns out there who lack the experience knocking on families' doors. And then the court will take the documents that these investigators, these interns, prepare and count it as if it was conducted per the law. So they're relying on it to make decisions that influence families and separate kids from parents. And now there are very warranted cases, and I've seen a lot of them as a foster parent to have kids removed from parents. But that is a very sacred power. You want to make sure that the individual doing that has the experience to know what they're looking for. So that is the department that is a huge mess, and they are empowered by the majority party, kind of giving them a blank check and no checks and balances to go out and just yield a large stick that ultimately has the authority to remove kids from parents' homes. And now, I'm not even sure how to message this one because I'm just digging into this issue now, but they're rolling out an interface that is app-based to then allow direct access to kids in your home and the parents to monitor and shepherd them through this process more. But I just get very cautious when I'm signing, checking boxes, giving my privacy rights away to a government, all under the duress. Like, you can see, like, hey, if you want to keep young Johnny in your home, you're going to have to sign up for this program. It's coming, and I'm going to file legislation that says they can't be in tandem. You can't hold parents hostage and say you have to participate in this or you remove your child. I just get a little alarmed, again, about government really up into parental rights and the lives of parents, and then leveraging that to force them into decisions that they otherwise would. So that is a department that is sadly needed in the state of Illinois, but is really frustrating to deal with and needs massive reform, which means we need a new governor. Because that is how... That's how you ultimately fix that. That's how you ultimately fix it, because they have the authority to kind of gut the system and reset a new baseline. Everything that you guys do, we're so grateful. I know many Christian reps and senators down there, so grateful for prayers, so grateful for encouragement. But man, my closing, I do this everywhere, and then I'll promise I'll be quiet. It is great, and I'm not saying don't do this, but we walk by people every day in the Capitol that are holding signs for some cause. And we walk past them, and I can hear their chants literally rise up through the rotunda and through the chamber doors when they get opened. And then we'll vote on stuff completely ignoring everything that those people are there for. So protesting is great. And man, homeschool parents did an incredible job. They shut down the Capitol. So like, I'm not saying don't engage on that front, but I often look at the hours and hours and hours that go into this stuff and think, if we really want to change things, we need butts and seats that can cast votes to change the makeup of Illinois. So what if somebody invests 4 hours into holding a sign? What if they took those 4 hours and invested it into a campaign to get someone elected that can make those votes that you want represented in Springfield? So that would be my encouragement. I'm not saying don't speak up and advocate for your beliefs, because it is important to do that. But let's invest if you can. Invest if you only have those 4 hours to spare or whatever. Man, find a campaign that you can invest in to help make the difference, whether it's school board, library board, state rep, state senator, county board, whatever it is. Because often there's a lot of great candidates around. Volunteers are hard to come by, and a lot of them are one man or one woman rodeos as a result. And then it's just hard to overcome the spend from the other side of the aisle. But the atmosphere is ripe for change, without question. Again, it's going to come down to, do these campaigns have the manpower to get their message out and be mobilized and to win the hearts of the voters? It's all about voter intimacy. If these campaigns can win the intimacy of these voters, especially, we're a unique breed. I'm making a big assumption here. I'm one of them that are kind of loving politics and often vote in primaries. So we're a little more engaged than most people. There is a whole segment out in that population that aren't as engaged. This is America. I'm so grateful that we can live as we wish we can live, but they're not as engaged in the everyday issues. So we need to win the hearts of the VG voters, the people that only vote in general elections. And if we can do that, then we can start changing some of these statewide races, some of these congressional seats. And the content is there, the content from the rampant crime, the soaring electric costs, your cost of living. I just asked Facebook, what's your number one issue? 75th district, please comment. It was like a, not a lot, but like 150 comments, but literally 95% of them, they're all cost of living. And our cost of living is directly tied to the policies that are coming out of Springfield. We just need to connect the dots for these people that vote in general elections, because then they'll be like, wait a second. And they'll reconsider. So the atmosphere and the harvest is ripe. We just need the workers. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
75th District State Representative Jed Davis during an Illinois Family Institute forum hosted by Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove. Please support the work of IFI. All donations are tax deductible. To give, click donate at illinoisfamily.org or call 708-781-9328. Your support is very much appreciated. Be sure to join Riley Gaines and the Illinois Family Institute at the Faith, Family, and Freedom Banquet, Friday night, November 7th, at Denolfo's in Homer Glen. If you'd like to attend, click events at illinoisfamily.org or call 708-781-9328. We'd love to see you there. And tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. Until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.